Good morning again.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here. Thank you guys for leading in the songs. Just amazing feeling and just amazing thought that we can come together as one body to worship. This morning was amazing time of worship, and just to continue to think about our Lord and Savior and to pour out our praises, to literally pour out our praises is really amazing. We're going to continue our study of Ephesians. Seems like the Lord has led us to Ephesians quite a bit lately, so I'm going to continue on in the series of Walking Worthy. Walking Worthy of Our Calling. David did a good job, and he's going to continue in Ephesians 1, right? Ephesians 1 on. So it's kind of like he's doing the front, I'm doing the end. So it's a good kind of mesh between the two, because the first half you're getting a good dose of what the Lord has done and what are the riches that we have in Christ. It's just riches upon riches upon it, riches. The spiritual inheritance we have in the Lord is amazing, and I've been kind of wrapped up in this latter portion of Ephesians of the so what part. If the Lord has given us so much, what is the so what of it? What now, or how now shall I live? What should my life reflect? You know, I was really moved by David's illustration this morning of, you know, his illustration of someone jumping off the pier or falling off. Sorry, not jumping off. Falling off. And a well-dressed man comes by and actually saves him, right? Pulls him into safety. And he invites him to his house, right? And not only is that man at first very thankful and his gratitude is pouring forth, but as he comes to the well-dressed man's house, he learns of his character. He learns of his goodness. He's not just a man of action to pull him to safety, but he's a good man. He's a good man. He's a loving man. The person that's saved comes to look at his character, and it starts to... He seeks to emulate his goodness, emulate who this person is, and to not only live a life of gratitude, but live a life of worship. You know, it's a good illustration. I really was moved by that, because it's exactly what the message is going to be on this morning. Walking worthy of our calling. What does it look like? What should our lives reflect? If the Lord has, if the Holy Spirit is residing in us, and we call or says as Christians, Christ-like, what should our lives look like? In the first portion of our series here, part one, if you want to call it, Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to turn there real quick, just look at the first verse. And this is the change of thought in Ephesians and in this letter of how now shall I live. Paul, at the first three chapters, calls us to reflect on the amazing grace the Lord has poured out, the richness of His mercy and the spiritual inheritance that we have. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I therefore, is a change of thought, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. He's beseeching, he's calling us out, he's calling the Ephesian believers out. I beseech you to walk worthy. Walk worthy in the light of Christ and what Christ has done for you. And so he continues that in Ephesians chapter 5. And if you want a little outline, he breaks down this walking worthy of your calling. And he breaks it down into four, but I'm going to attack three today. But you could talk about walking in love, walking in the light, and then walking in wisdom. That's what we're going to cover today. Walking in love, what does that look like in our lives? Walking in light, even in chapter 4, he brought up the darkness. We've been saved from the darkness. So what does it mean to walk in the light? And then he says, walk in wisdom. Walk circumspectly. Walk in the truth. And how does our life look in that way? So we're going to look at that. Walking worthy of our calling. A calling means having a life of holiness and blameless. It means walking in purity. Paul is really directing this in purity. What does your life look like walking in purity? And Paul deciphers this in three different ways. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read the first 17 verses, which we're going to cover today. And I'm sorry, the last walk that he covers in Ephesians chapter 5, the latter half, and I actually had a chance to speak on this at the wedding I went to, which was very daunting when you're speaking at a wedding. It was the first time, but the Lord blessed, and it went real well. But the last walk that he addresses in Ephesians chapter 5 is walking in harmony. Walking with the Lord in our relationships, with our wives, with our family, with the ones we love. So that's the last walk, and then we pray that the Lord tarries. We'll cover that later on. So let's read Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, again, he starts this chapter off with a therefore. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just, Lord, continue to give you praise and glory and thanks, Lord, for who you are, Lord, and what you've done. Lord, and not only what you've done on the cross, Lord, and that is that you have redeemed us from such an eternity of condemnation and damnation, Lord, but that you have redeemed us unto life, Lord, and that you redeemed us from the darkness, Lord, and we praise you for that. Lord, I pray as we look at your word now, Lord, that you would lead us by your Spirit, Lord, and that we would glean the truths from it, Lord, and that we may apply it to our lives, Lord, and walk worthy, Lord, walking worthy of the calling that you've given us. Lord, may our hearts be changed, Lord. May our hearts be encouraged now, Lord, as we look at your living word. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. You know, I've been watching what I say around Anjali and Aaron. Not that I say anything bad necessarily, but it's funny, as we were driving, it happens occasionally now, but as we're driving and it's quiet in the car, all of a sudden from the back you hear, "Sup?" I'm like, "What was that? Sup?" And so I'm like, oh my goodness, do I say that on the phone to whoever I'm talking to? It's just funny that children have a tendency to mimic, right? They have a tendency to be imitators of what they've seen and heard. You know, I have to be very careful, you know, of just the way I act around them or whatever it may be, because they are watching what we do, right? We tend to imitate those that are placed over us. You know, I find myself, and my wife kind of reminds me of certain mannerisms in my family, my side of the family, and like, that's your father in you, or that's your mother in you. And I'm like, I had to pause and think. I'm like, wow, I'm definitely like my father when I respond in this way. But it's amazing that we, doesn't have to be as children when we're real small, but even now, we imitate things that are around us. And Paul is saying here is, what are you imitating? But be imitators of God as dear children. You know, David's illustration, the young man that was pulled to safety, he, after he comes to his house, to the hostess' house, and sees the character of this one that has saved his life, he starts to worship and starts to, wow, this is a good man. This is the man I'd like to be. And starts to emulate, starts to mimic that. Paul uses that same thought here as, are you imitators of God? Are you imitators of God? Are we, as children of God, imitators of Him? And that's a powerful premise he starts here with the introduction of walking worthy. Right? Walking worthy of your calling. Even in Ephesians chapter 4, let me see if I could find it here. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Jonathan. No, right? To the measure and stature of LeJoy. No, right? It says to the measure and stature of Christ. And Paul continues this thinking of walking worthy of the calling to Christ and to God and what He has done. And he teaches and he uses that as a premise to start this talk of breaking it down, deciphering it into these different walks of the believer and how we mimic God in our lives. So he starts here. And we looked at some of those passages this morning. And the first walk here is walking in what? Love, right? Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, Christ, God's only begotten Son. It's amazing when you think he encourages us to walk in love, right? And in the first verse, it says, be imitators of God, right? Paul starts to break down this three walk here, a four-part walk, into different aspects of who God is. And that's a really interesting thought I want you guys to look at. Look at 1 John. We're going to look at 1 John here, a few verses here of who God is, and especially in love. 1 John 4. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. 1 John 4, beginning with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Herein is love. You know, I like that because the world has a distorted view of love. It's a very emotional, high kind of love, or a very sensual love. But here is love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Walk in love. Walk in God, right? God is love. Therefore, walk in love. Since God is love, and He sent His Son to die for us and display sacrificial love, and if we are partakers of this divine nature, right? In 2 Peter 1 through 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. And listen to this, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Paul is encouraging us to walk in love, walk in who God is and His character. Walk in what God has displayed. You know, it's a sad fact when even among believers, love is not displayed. Even among believers. You know, there's a my home assembly in New York is going through a dispute within the body. And they've taken it to the courts outside. And even there's been, I think there's been one funeral, but there's been many marriages. You see, they even, when they come for these joyous occasions, they can't even, you know, forgive. They can't even redeem. They even can't come and worship together. God is love. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And who's the example? Christ, right? And His sacrificial love. You know, we talked about this morning the sweet-smelling Savior, the aroma. And we discussed the death of Christ and what it did, right? It satisfied the holy law of God. And what did it do? Not only that, it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father to follow His will to redeem His lost race. You know, when we walk in love, it pleases our Father. When we show love, when we display love to those that are most unloving, the Father finds pleasure. Can you think about that? Think about those that have wronged you the most. Think about that person that just cut you off. And this is my thing. I get upset on the road. But think of that person that cuts you off. To the most unloving, how does your love measure up? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son. What was the measure? The measure is Christ, right? The measure is showing love. F.B. Meyer, this quote that I found was really, really good. In love so measureless, so reckless of cost, for those who were naturally so unworthy of it, there was a spectacle which filled heaven with fragrance and God's heart with joy. Think of that. In love so measureless, so reckless of cost, for those who were naturally so unworthy of it, there was a spectacle which filled heaven with fragrance and God's heart with joy. I like that aspect that Jonathan and what we shared this morning of the joy. The joy. The joy of God. Should that not lead us in love? Should that not lead us by walking in love? It's a divine nature that's in us. It's a new nature, right? The old nature wants to fill the appetite of the world, right? Fill the lust and the selfish appetite of the world. Look at the example that Paul gives. Verse 3. Our time is flying here, but verse 3. The opposite of love. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. See the opposite of love here? The opposite of love, of showing and displaying love, is building up selfishness or pride within oneself. You think of fornication and covetousness, right? Fornication, it's going outside the bounds of marriage and committing acts that are against God. Uncleanliness, immoral acts, impure thoughts, looking at suggestive material, or covetousness. It's all an appetite, right? And an appetite to please one's own self. And totally opposite of God's love and God's redeeming love of giving. This should not even be named among you. You know, there's an... I don't know if you guys were watching the news of when the presidential... what do you call it? The presidential campaign... Not campaign. Convoy went to Colombia. And now there's things coming out of Colombia when they saw the people of the presidential or of the White House went to get prostitutes and to commit different acts. Why was that such a heinous crime? Why is it being such an outcry now? Because it's unfitting of not only anybody, but it's unfitting of the presidential office, right? It's unfitting of government. And the acts of them committing of that, it was unfitting of the office, right? Not only just was it wrong, but it was unfitting of the office. Look at what Paul says here. let these things that selfishly satisfy the lust and the appetite of the old nature. And he says, let not even this be named among you as is fitting for saints. This is not of God. This is not of what God would want you to. And Paul kind of breaks this out even further, because in verse 4 he says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetousness man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He says there's a deeper concern here. It's the heart, isn't it? And he's making a distinction of saved and unsaved people. Of, you'll know these people that are unclean and fornicators and covetousness. Why? Because in verse 4, it comes out of their mouth, doesn't it? It comes out of their mouth. Their selfishness, their lust, it comes out of their mouth. You know, it's funny, I'm at this new job right now, and the Lord has blessed. I'm really thankful for this job. But of course, you get placed around new people. You know, and I was part of a company previously, Blue Cross. I was part of a company previously that has very high integrity standards. Very high, you know, you'd be respectful of the workplace and what you say and what you do. And if not, you can be found in trouble. You could just report it. Here, they're not as much pushing for that. It's not a private company. We're working more for the government. Not that that says anything, but... one of the people that I work with, he's a really nice guy, but he has a very rough language. I don't know how to say it. Very coarse language. And I could tell as he explained things about his life and how he handles his money and everything, he lives a very lavish life. And you could tell that what he says from his mouth is very coming from his heart. And what he considers important in life. You know, sometimes I wish believers could tape record their own speech, tape record their own thoughts, and reflect on what is that really honoring of God? Is it really worthy of God? You know, this is what Paul's trying to get at and encourage believers: is walk in love. Walk in love because God is love. Look at your heart. Look at what it means to walk. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Do not even be partakers of what God has called wrong. You know, Paul brings up this thinking of verse 5 is idolatry, right? Idolatry is the fall of this world. Anything. You call it, there's many idols in this world. You don't have to look to the Old Testament. There's many examples of idols now. But Paul is saying in the believer's life, what do we find most important? And Paul starts there, right? In verse 1, therefore be imitators of God. Imitators of God. Let's go into the next one. Our time is flying here. So walk in love. You know, walking worthy of your calling. Walk in love. That's the first one. But the next one, he says, walk as children of life. As light, I'm sorry, verse 8. For you were once darkness. Now just pause and think of that. He doesn't say, for you were once in darkness. But what does he say? For you were once darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are light. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, as children, we are parents, and if God, I'm sorry, as children, we mimic our parents, and if God is life, we should therefore imitate our Father. You know, 1 Peter 2:9, awesome, another awesome verse. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He has called us out of the darkness. He has called us out as children of disobedience, right? He has called us out of us just walking aimlessly in this world, fulfilling the lusts and appetite of our own desires. and called us into His marvelous light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So He calls it out, what is of light? I'm going to move on here a little bit. Just to pause here, and what does it mean to walk in the light? And this is very practical, because He wants to make it very clear to the Ephesians. The Ephesian believers were in a city that was all corrupt, and there was a temple of all kind of idolatries and what you could take part of. But He says, if you walk in the light, here is what it looks like. Fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You know, I started to look at that. Goodness is talking about moral excellence. Moral excellence, moral integrity of how we conduct ourselves in everyday business. You know, Jonathan was sharing a good story of when I met up with him on Friday, and the boys were there also, Caleb and Gavin. Jonathan had a crazy day, and you're just waiting to get home. You just had it. You just want to get home. And he said he was in Bojangles parking lot. I hope you don't mind me sharing. I didn't even ask him. But he was in Bojangles parking lot, and he was backing out, and he just kissed the bumper of a 11th grader that goes to the local high school. You know, in general, you could just be, oh, great, what else could happen? Oh, great, I'm just going to just complain and just, you know, just maybe drive away. People may just drive away and maybe... nothing in the eyes of the world, but that's the common way. But no, if we're believers, if we walk into His if we're in His marvelous light, how do we respond with moral excellence and integrity? You know, Jonathan said he got out of the car. He said it was his fault. It's my fault. You know. Can you imagine an 11th grader? And what do I do? You know, she could have been so scared at Jonathan. Well, not that Jonathan's scary, but but you know, Jonathan went out and he said, "You know what? It's my fault. You know, even if it's a small dent, I think you should call your dad. I think we need to talk about it." And you know, Jonathan talked to the father, and you know, the boys. I don't know if the boys were surprised that a bad situation we showed, or we like I was there, but Jonathan showed. The light of Christ, right? And just handling the way we handle moral excellence, goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is all goodness. What else does he say? He says righteousness. And I said, I studied here and said, meaning integrity in all dealings with God and men. Integrity in our vows, in our yeses and our noes. Today, that's very far in between, right? I was going to say a politician, but I mean, it's hard to find a man and woman of God that would stick by His word. You know, and our time is gone here, but I grew up on Little House on the Prairie. I loved that show. Why? Because Charles Ingalls, the character, there was one story where they were buying at the general store and the debt was keep incurring. He was a farmer. He couldn't pay it, but they needed things. And they made a big issue of it. Harriet, the wife there, made a big issue of it. And he said, "That's it. We're going to pay, what was it? Pay on the barrel." I forgot what was the quote, but he said, "That's it. I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to live like this. I'm going to live by my word, and we're going to pay constantly." Integrity. Moral excellence and goodness. This is what the Lord calls for in walking in the light. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Paul calls out here, living before God, not hiding anything, and revealing His light within our lives, in every area, every corner, every aspect. And not only that, to the lost and dying world. He says, call them out, expose them, showing them that's not right. You know, I'm not going to get to the last one here, but, you know, I remember coming home from college, and I was just had an awesome time in college. I was crusade doing ministry on campus, and I started question and think about things. And I came home one break, and my mom, you know, she loves having us home, and she took the day off. But when she called it in as a sick day. So I called her out. I called her out, and I know it wasn't the right thing, but I called her out. I was like, "Is that mom? Is that the right thing to do? Are you sick?" No, she was doing it for us, but is it the right thing to do? Don't have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. How do we live? How do we walk in the light that this world would see Christ? Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You young guys here, think of this verse here. What is acceptable to the Lord? You know, I also think of Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And everything that you do in life and every decision, use it as a filter. Every decision I have to make, everything that comes in, everything I act or what I say, is it acceptable to the Lord? Not, you know, it's a good filter just to have in your life. Is acceptable to the Lord? It's the test, right? What is honoring and glorifying to God? Verse 14 here. Therefore, he says, awake, you who are asleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Christ will give you life. He's shaking them. He says, awake, walk worthy of your calling. Arise from the dead. Arise from the darkness. You know, again, I bring this up all the time, is we need to say what is of the old nature, what is in Christ. What is the new nature? Walk in that. Walk in that marvelous light. Awake. I'll get into the next one. The next one that he says is walking in wisdom, right? Walking in wisdom. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. You know, I looked this up. In the Latin it says to look around. In the Greek it says with precision and accuracy. With precision and accuracy. Walk in wisdom. Walk by the truth. 1 John 5:6 says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Walk in truth. Walk in wisdom. Walk by the Spirit. You know, I like what it says here, circumspectly and looking around with precision and accuracy. You know, I see too many believers, too many young believers that have, you know, the heaven insurance. You know, you come to know the Lord and then you live a frivolous life of Christian liberty, saying, oh, it's okay. But that's not what God calls for. God calls for walking by the truth, walking by light, walking circumspectly with precision, looking in our lives what is of God and what is not. Paul's encouragement was to examine one's life and to live on a specific course, following the Father's will in our life. Something I wrote here, making the best opportunities God gives each day and every day, and that we should not frivolously live. We should not just try to move on to different stages of life frivolously. But to ask of this day, specifically, what can I do for God? How can I walk in wisdom and in truth today for God? How can I honor Him today? How can I be an example to our young children, to our kids? God has given us a mind to understand and do the will of God each and every day. Learning. I like how Paul says here, walk around circumspectly. Learning, gathering facts, examining, weighing, and following the Word of God. Every day. God's redeeming plan for each and every individual is that we should live our lives to discover and follow God's will and plan for our lives every day, and to seek to follow the plan for His glory. So you see this, walking worthy of our calling is very specific. He doesn't just say, just go walk worthy, and then our measure becomes what the world has, right? No. Our measure should be what Christ is, what Christ has done for us and how He planned it. Walking worthy every single day, walking in love, walking in the light, and walking by the truth, but walking wisely, right? Are we redeeming the time? I like this. Redeeming the time. Are we redeeming the time? The Lord can return at any moment. Every single moment we should be redeeming the time. And not only that, why does he say that? Because the days are evil. You know, he was talking to Ephesian believers. Why? And encouraging them this way. Why? First century church, persecution. Where was Paul writing from? What an example. Paul was writing from prison. And he says, walk. The days are evil. There's persecution. There's a world full of lust and desires and evil and darkness out there. Walk in the Lord. Walk in the light. Walk in the love. Walk in wisdom. That's the way we need to encourage not only ourselves and in our lives, but in God. May we give Him the glory and, you know, fall down on our knees. You know, we were talking about prayer together, and we were talking specifically. If you have a fault, if there's something the Lord has revealed in your life, pray specifically that the Lord, that you confess it, and that the Lord would help you to get over it. We need to be specific in our prayers and to walk with the Lord in our lives. Walk worthy of our calling. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your living word. Lord, we thank you for how we come to understand who you are more and more, Lord, as we open up your scriptures. Lord, as we, Lord, have been called to such a great calling to walk by the name of Christ, Lord, and to walk in this world, Lord, till you return. Lord, may you give us the strength and encouragement and the help, Lord, to walk worthy of our calling, Lord, to walk in love, walk in the light, and walk in by wisdom. Lord, and that we would not frivolously take for granted the things that you've given us, Lord, but that we would be precise and accurate by living according to your word and living in your glorious light. Lord, may you encourage us now and lead us by your Spirit. Lord, and may we be mightily used for thy glory as we leave here and live our lives in this coming week. May others see Christ in our life, Lord, and want to know about you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this great salvation you've given us. And we just lift all this up to your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.